Well, good morning. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving Day. I have a tray back there of some turkey burritos for you guys, the service. So, what amazing weekend. And God is good. All the time, God is good, right? And yes, as Pastor Kayla was sharing, we are going to be starting our second service January 1st. We start in our Spanish service. We have seen the need and that we have in the Hispanic community, and we wanna. That's my grandbaby back there. We have seen the great need that we have in our community, and we want to serve our community with the resources that the Lord has provided for us. March 25th, we having a conference right here. It's a Saturday. We doing a grief conference for the Hispanic community. Many families have lost their loved ones during COVID in 2020. And they don't know how to cope with the process of grieving. They don't have the resources. Mostly of our Hispanic population don't have legal papers. They don't have assistance. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to grieve. So we are bringing a couple of people from Azusa University who are doctors. They specialize in the team of grieving. So we are having a conference here in Spanish through the school district for the Hispanic community, not only in Fullerton, but in Orange County. So I will ask you to help us pray for our Spanish service that will start January 1st. Help us pray for our grieving conference that we're having on March 25th. And help us pray for Calvary Chapel Fullerton to reach out those people that don't have a relationship with Christ yet. So it's amazing what the Lord is going to do in the next couple months, and we are excited to be part of this new season in the life of our church. And it is an honor to me to be able to share the word today. The title of the message today is the best gift, the best gift, the best gift. You know, a couple weeks ago, I received a phone call, a brother from the church. He has been a Christian over 35 years. He said, "Do you have a minute?" When somebody say, "Do you have a minute?" It means, do you have 30 minutes, right? So I said, yeah, I have a minute. And his words didn't sound right. I said, what's going on? He said, I just got back from the county jail. I had to go pick up my son. He was arrested last night for a DUI. And you can hear the pain in his voice. His son had divorced a couple years ago. He divorced his wife. He had to take custody of his children. They were living with the brother. Basically, the dad was helping the son with his grandchildren. Then on top of that, he got divorced. Now he's getting arrested for a DUI. He said, you know what, Pastor? I gave my son everything. I gave him everything. Everything he wanted, whenever he asked me, I gave it to him. I gave it to him. I took him to church every Sunday. I said, but you know what? It's not your fault, man. Don't put that on you. And he said, you know what? But one thing I didn't give my son. I didn't give my son a good example. That's one thing I didn't do. I didn't give my son a good example. My dream was always to have my son to be a husband, to be married, to have a great family. I want my son to be a great husband for his wife, a great father for my grandkids. That was my dream. But I failed, he said, because I was not a good example for my son. And you can hear the pain in his voice. And you know, that got me thinking, what kind of parents do I want my children to be? Now, as a grandfather, what kind of parent do I want my grandchildren to be for the future generations? I want them also to get in trouble, to go to jail, to get divorced. What kind of children do we want our children to be? What kind of parents do we want our children to be? Our grandchildren. You know, I will speak on my behalf. I think many times I fail as a parent. I don't get me wrong, I give my kids everything they want, but sometimes I was not also a good example for my kids. Sometimes I was not a good example for them. Sometimes I was not the parent that I always wanted to be. But God always gave me a new opportunity, a new day. Now I don't have my kids only, I have my grandkids. Now it's like he's giving me another opportunity to be a good example for my grandchildren. Because I don't want my grandchildren or my children to have the life that I have. I mean, I fight every single day to be the different man, to be the man that God wants me to be. It's not easy. Today we are going to see the passing on our faith to our children is the best gift we can give them. To pass on our faith to our children is the best gift we can give them. Not to talk to them about Christ, not to talk to them about God, but to pass on our faith. To allow them to see that the Lord is real and that we are committed to Christ. That's the greatest gift that we can give our children. Now the question is, how can we pass on our faith? How can we go about doing this? How can we pass on our faith to our children, to our future generations? Today we are going to be looking at Moses and the people of Israel. Moses is getting ready to go with the Lord. He's giving his last speech. The people of Israel is about to take the land. They are about to take possession of the land that the Lord has given it to them. And Moses is charging them with the words that the Lord gave him. In fact, Moses tells the congregation of Israel, don't take this lightly. Take heed of these words, as your lives must depend on them. This will guarantee your blessings and the land that the Lord is giving you. If you pay attention and you take heed of this word that I'm giving it to you today, this will guarantee your success and the land that the Lord, your God, is giving you. Well, we know the results. When we look at Judges chapter 2, we see that Joshua passed away. He dies. And the author tells us that After him, it came another generation, a new generation that didn't know the Lord and didn't know that everything that he had done for Israel. It was a new generation that didn't know the Lord. In other words, the faith was not passed on to the new generation. And we can read the book of Judges. We can see the failures. So today we are going to be in the book of Deuteronomy, most exactly in chapter 6. How can we pass on our faith to our children, to our grandchildren, maybe great-grandchildren? How can we go about and do this? First, we can do this by setting the Lord up in our lives as our greatest treasure. Setting up the Lord in our lives as our greatest treasure. Putting God, the Lord, as number one in our lives. Our greatest treasure. Him alone. I don't know if you have grandkids, but my eyes are always on my granddaughter. I think about her, I dream about her. In the mornings, I go look for her. When I'm here at the church, I'm singing the songs that she listens every day. In my heart, she has a special place. I always think about her. But one of the ways that we can pass on our faith to our children is setting up the Lord in our lives as our greatest treasure. He should be our greatest treasure. Him. Our loyalty should be towards him. Our fear should be to him alone. And Moses gives this command. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu. Escucha, listen, Israel. Obey, Israel. Yahweh is our God. Yahweh alone. There is no other God for you. Other people probably have different gods. They probably worship different idols. But for you, Yahweh is your God. Yahweh alone. And him alone, you should love him with all your heart, with all your being, and with everything that belongs to you. And you should keep this continually on your heart. With the words of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4. Hear, listen, O Israel, O Jacob. Listen, Jacob, the Lord is our God. The Lord alone is one. Now, Moses is not focusing on numbers here. He's speaking that Yahweh alone is our God. Yahweh, the name of the covenant, the name of the faithful God whom fulfilled his promises, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh. The one who created the heavens and earth. Yahweh alone is our God. The word here, listen, it means obey. It's the same word in the Hebrew. Listen and obey. Listen and obey. Listen. God is one. Yahweh alone is our God. We know this as the Shema. The Shema served as a witness for the people of Israel. When the Israelites will wake up in the morning, they will recite the Shema. They will say, Oh Israel, Yahweh is our God, Yahweh alone. When they will come back home late On the day, they will recite again the Shema. And as a witness, they would say, "O Israel, Yahweh is our God, Yahweh alone." They will meditate on it. It would serve as a witness. Was really Yahweh your God? Was really Him alone your God today? They will have to do that in the mornings and the night. In the mornings and the night. Yahweh is our God. Yahweh alone. The New Testament gives a light to this text. Paul speaks about this text. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 5 says, "There might be so-called gods both in heaven and on earth. And some people actually worship many gods and many lords. But for us, Christians, there is one God, the Father, by whom all things were created and for whom we live. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created and through whom we live." He's putting Jesus Christ in the same position of Yahweh, the Lord of Israel. People can have different gods. They can worship all they want to. They can worship idols. But us, we only have one God. The Lord is our God. And then he goes on to tell us in verses 5 and 6, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." What Moses is telling the people of Israel is to love God with all your being. Where your mind, where your thoughts, where your will, you should love God. Every single thought, it should be filtered through the Lord's character, Yahweh. You should love your God with all your person, all your body, with your hands, with your eyes, with your feet. And the word strength here means everything. It means you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with everything you have. Your wife, your kids, your grandkids, your animals, your cattle, with everything you have, you should love the Lord your God with everything you have. Where all you be, you should love the Lord your heart. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Not to write it on your hearts, not to get a tattoo on your heart. You should keep it present at all times. You should think about this. You should meditate about this consistently all times. What it means to love someone with all your heart? What really means? What really means to love someone with all your heart? I hate when we go out places and we eating, me and my wife, and sometimes there's a piece of chicken left. It's my last piece of chicken. And she won it. And this verse comes to my mind. Should I love my wife with all my heart? Sometimes I give it to her, sometimes I don't. But what really means to love the Lord our God with all our hearts? Jesus Christ gives us a good example in the New Testament. What it means to love the Lord our God with all our hearts. Chapter 12, Mark. He's giving parables about the owner of the vineyard, how he planned the vineyard, a beautiful vineyard. The people that was in charge of the vineyard, they ignored the owner. They didn't acknowledge the owner. So he sent his workers, and they killed his workers. And lastly, he sent his son, thinking that they would listen to him. And no, but they end up killing the son too. He's speaking to the teachers of the law. And in the context of these verses, Mark chapter 12, verses 29 say, Jesus answered the foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength, or with everything you have. And then he goes on to say, in his teaching, he was saying, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in low rows, and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces, and cheap seats in the synagogues, and places of honor and banquets, who devour widows' houses, and for appearances' sake offer long, long prayers. This will receive greater condemnation. And he sat down opposite to the treasurer and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasurer. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put into two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty put in all. She only, all she have to live on. In other words, this widow gave the Lord the honor that he deserved. This widow manifested her loyalty to the Lord. She manifested her devotion to the Lord. She gave her all to the Lord. Even what her life depended on, she gave her all. She gave herself to the Lord. Jesus said, this is what it looks like to love God with all your heart. Give him the devotion that he deserves. Give him the loyalty that he desires to have from you. Because he's loyal. Give him you all. How can we pass on our faith to our future generations? By loving God with all our hearts. By setting up the Lord up in our lives as the greatest treasure. By giving him our all. You know, our kids, they really know if we love God. We can't pretend that we love God with them. They really, truly know us. They know who we are and what we do and how we think. So this was important for the Lord. The Lord knew that this was important, that you guys must love the Lord your God with all your heart. Because if you possess this, you can pass it on to others. Because you cannot pass on to others what you don't possess. If you don't have passion about something, you cannot pass it on to others. Think about it in the morning. All right, guys, let's go to church. What about, come on, guys, let's go, come on. Let's go praise the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord today. Ooh, God is good. Come on, guys. Got your breakfast ready. Come on, let's go. Let's go worship the Lord. Our kids can see the passion, the fire that we have for God. They can see that we love the Lord of God. So once we possess this, we can pass it on to our children. We can pass it on today. When they see that we have a devotion towards the Lord, loyalty in all the areas of our lives towards the Lord, then we can pass it on to our future generation. How can we pass on our faith to our future generations? We must consciously live as stewards of the Lord's resources. We must consciously live as stewards of the Lord's resources. We must live as we are stewards of everything that we have, that nothing belongs to us. It's amazing in these holidays how we feel that we have to run to the stores, that we need to start buying gifts, that we need to start spending a lot of money, that we need to start buying $100 shoes. And we forget that we are stewards of the Lord, the everything we have. Sometimes we forget that everything comes from Him. And thanks to Him, we have what we have. This was the greatest danger for the people of Israel, because they were about to take possession of a place where they didn't have to build anything. The Lord already has set up a nice place for them. They already have a two-story houses, four-car garages, pool in the back. They had everything. All they had to do is take possession of the land. But the danger that they were facing is that they will forget the Lord their God. So if we want to pass on our faith to our children, we must consciously live as stewards of the Lord's resources. Notice in verses 10, it says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land, He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build. Houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide. Wells you did not dig. And vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Be careful. Watch yourself. Guard your heart. Everything you have, remember, it comes from the Lord. He is given to you. The problem was, if they forget that they have everything from the Lord, they will go after other gods, idols that will offer prosperity, like the nations around them. And this was important. For them not to forget that all the blessings that they had, it came from the Lord. They came from the Lord. See, sometimes prosperity can make us have amnesia. Sometimes we start praying with the same desire that we pray when we don't know where our next meal is coming from. Now, a couple years ago, I was doing taxi, doing Lyft. There's no guarantee you're going to make money, especially during COVID season. Nobody want to be in the car with you. I remember my prayers then. They were different than now. I said, Lord, please provide me with enough to take home, to pay my bills, to provide for my family. Be careful with prosperity. not to forget that your daily bread, it comes from the Lord. Think about when you didn't have a job. Think about when you were filling applications and applications and you didn't have a job. And still the Lord find a way to provide for all your needs. And when you get a good job, don't forget about the Lord. Sometimes prosperity can make us prideful. We get to think that we are the one that making everything happen. No. Sometimes prosperity can make us idolatrous. We start worshiping the Lord, our God, and we start worshiping what? Our jobs, our businesses, our bank accounts. No. Let's not forget that everything we have, it comes from the Lord. So we must rely on Him consistently. When you gather your family, your wife, your kids, your grandkids, and say, come on, guys, let's pray. I want to thank God today for the job that I have. Thanks to the job that I have, I can provide for this place. I can pay for your shoes, your clothes, your tuition. So come on, help me pray. Let's thank the Lord for my job, for my business. Be a good steward. If your son asks you for $200 per shoe, be a good steward. Explain to him why you cannot buy him a $200 shoe. Explain that the Lord is giving you everything you have. Explain your children. Before you make big moves, before you buy a house, before you start a business, seek the Lord's guidance. Come on, family, let's pray together. We are about to make this move. We are about to buy this house. And we need to pray first. We need to seek the guidance of the Lord. Come on, help me pray. Dear Lord, if this is your will, please open the door for me to buy this house. If this is your will, Father, open the door of this college for our son. Father, if this is your will, open the doors for our business to be established. And let's be generous and share the gifts that the Lord has given us. When you tithe, when you offering, show your kids what you're doing with your money. Explaining to them why you do what you do. Explain your kids why you give. If you give it to the missions field, explain your kids. This is the reason I'm giving it to the missions field. This is the reason I'm giving for this cause. Don't forget that everything belongs to the Lord. That me and you are only stewards, and we need to pass on this to our children by showing them how we spend our money and how we care for our resources. How can we pass on our faith? By seizing teachable moments of the Lord's grace and His will for our lives. Don't lose opportunity to share about the Lord's grace with your children and what is His will for your life. Seek for every opportunity to share with your children about the Lord's grace and His will for your life. Share every opportunity. In the mornings, in the house, in the market, in the football game, as you're watching soccer, as you're watching the World Cup, use every opportunity to share about the Lord's grace and what is the will of His will for our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 7 say, impress them. The word here is teach them diligently on your children the commandments and the words I'm giving you, say Moses. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Share with your children. Teach your children. Talk about these things with your children. Tie them as a symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. See, Moses was speaking here symbolically. He was not speaking literally to write the commandments here on your arm and write it down here on your hands. No, he's speaking a metaphor that they should keep these always, always in their minds and their hearts. And the people that walk by their houses should know that their family right there, it was consecrated to Yahweh, the God of Israel. Not because they say they were Israelites, no, because the way they live their lives. We see other texts that use the same language. Exodus chapter 13, verse 9, it said, "This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand, a reminder on your forehead that this law of the Lord is to be on your lips." It means you should meditate consistently and repeat it and speak about it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 said, "Let love and faithfulness never leave your binding around your neck. Write them on the tablet or your heart." It doesn't mean to write it. No. Meditate on it. Live by it. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 21. "Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck." So Moses is speaking symbolically to the people of Israel. You should meditate on it. You should live by it. The people should see that you belong to the Lord, that you are committed to the Lord. And when you get a chance with your children, whenever you are on the streets, whenever you are at home, whenever you in the mornings or breakfast or at night and dinner, always, always speak about these things with your children. The word here that Moses used is the word sharpening. The word teach them, it means like when you sharpen metal. When you sharpen the metal with another metal. That's the word that Moses is using here. That's what you should do with your children. Teach them in the way that you are sharpening them in the ways of the Lord. So in other words, your commitment to the Lord must be in private, in your family, and in public. Everybody should see that you are committed to Yahweh, our God. This kid, well, he's not a kid no more in the church. He shares about his father. He said, "My dad always, always speak about the Lord. He always has something to say about the Lord. When we used to go fishing," he say, "Oh, son, look at the ocean. How beautiful. The Lord created this. Oh, wow." When we caught the fish, he said, "Look at this, son. Look at this beautiful fish. This is the creation of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this fish." Sometimes when my dad is driving and somebody cut him off in the freeway, my dad says, "It's okay, son. Who knows what the man is going through? Let it go, let it go." When we are sitting in McDonald's, my dad is not embarrassed to pray for the meals. I am, he say, but my dad is not. He say, "Come on, son. Can you please pray for the meals?" And there we go. He got me praying for the meals. Hey, Father, I try to be quick, Pastor. "Father, thank you for the meals. In Jesus' name, amen." He said, "No, son. We need to thank the Lord for the meals." Sometimes he takes me to the store. And sometimes he takes me to the store just to buy flowers. And he said, look, I'm buying these flowers for your mom. Because that's what the Lord desires from me. To love your mom as he loves the church. Every opportunity he's speaking about the Lord. He always teaching me about the Lord. Before I go to bed at night, he speaks about his goodness, how he was good to him at his job. He always speaking about the Lord. My dad always speaks about the goodness of the Lord. See, all this is possible when you love the Lord your God. You don't have to pretend that you love God. It's naturally. You remember when you fall in love with your wife or your husband? Do you remember? Have you ever been with a person that is in love? Have you? I'm like, oh man. You don't say it aloud, but you're like, I wish you stop. I mean, he talks so much about this beautiful girl, and he thinks that this is the girl for his life, and he's going to marry her one day, and she called him, and she talked to him. I mean, you can tell that the person is in love. When you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with everything you have, this will come in a natural way, and you will be able to teach your children who is the God of Israel, who is our Lord, our God. Size teachable moments of God's grace. Notice what Moses tells us in verse 20. In the future, when your son asks you, hey, Dad, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws that the Lord our God has commanded you? What is this about with you? You always